I don't know if you saw a feature on the news this week about a bombed-out school in Yemen. It had no roof, no walls, a huge bomb crater in the middle of the first floor, and no furniture. It had hardly any teachers either. But the school was packed with children, sitting on the bare concrete, shouting out their responses to questions that were being fired at them by a 9-year-old boy who was blind from birth, who was in effect their teacher, while the sound of bullets and mortars were clearly heard in the background. It was the most fantastic and moving example of hope and resilience, one of them anyway, that I think I've ever seen. The next day, I received from our head teacher a copy of the COVID-19 risk assessment for the return of our children on Monday to our beautiful, warm, safe, well-equipped school. It's 30 pages long. I kid you not, 30 pages long. Instead of pointing out a few essentials, it's extremely detailed. Halfway through, of course, I lost the will to live. Last year, I was asked by our high school to give a talk to 14-year-olds in St. Edmund's Church. And when I asked the teacher why they were 20 minutes late arriving, she told me that she had to do a risk assessment for the 250-yard walk from the school. Now, I know our laws say these things have to be done, but it seems to me that there's little freedom in them for head teachers and staff to use their own experience and their common sense. And I think this slavery, in inverted commas, to the law reminds me of an occasion when the Irish Guards Officers' Mess was hosting a brigade lunch when I was serving with them. The previous host regiment sent over a manual of instructions of how to do this, how to set up for a lunch. The president of the mess committee took one look, put it to one side and said, "Sergeant Major, fix lunch for 40, and left him to it. I'm sure if everything had to be done by the book in Yemen, all hope would be lost for these wonderful, resourceful children who are making a life for themselves. Law, of course, is not bad in itself. In today's scriptures, we are reminded that good laws bring life and freedom. They liberate. They don't restrict. You might not think so when you look at all the prohibitions in the Ten Commandments, which are the standards of behaviour that govern our relationship with God and each other, and if followed, of course, lead to peaceful lives. When Jesus came, he stated quite clearly that he had no wish to abolish the law. He didn't want to abolish the law, but to bring it to perfection. In other words, to take us beyond mere external observance of the commandments to their spirit, the reason that they were given in the first place. To take just one of them, the obvious meaning of thou shalt not steal is not to take things that do not belong to us. But the spirit of the no stealing law also means not withholding what belongs to the common good. So for example, we must pay our taxes, and in our work we must give value for money. Rich countries must not pay poor countries a pittance for their natural resources, nor must excess food or vaccines be hoarded by those who can afford them while fellow human beings starve or die. It was because he wanted to get to the heart of the matter, to help people to move away from outward observance and keeping up appearances, that Jesus laid into the money changers. He was trying to unclutter the minds of people who had become so preoccupied with the law and the ritual of the temple that they'd forgotten its purpose. Its purpose is a house of prayer, where they could internalize or spiritualize their relationship with God. The chief priests, of course, hated him for it, especially as he was later to have a go at them for wearing broader phylacteries and longer tassels in order to draw attention to themselves. They claimed he wanted to destroy the temple, and with it, their way of applying the law, which they feared would lessen their power and authority over the ordinary people. Jesus, of course, did not want to destroy them. They were good men, but they were simply unable to see the wood for the trees. He was trying to remind them, and us, that God searches the mind and knows the heart. So even though we do keep the Sabbath day holy, in our case Sunday holy, by coming to Mass, he's more interested in what's in our hearts when we come. If we come to worship in spirit and truth, then there's every chance that we'll live out God's law in spirit and truth. We don't need the commandments or 30 pages of instruction to tell us what to do. With our love for God, guidance of the Holy Spirit, and concern for the common good, we clearly show that we already understand that you, Lord, have the message of eternal life.